Happy Canada Day out there to everyone celebrating. This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Gazzola with you from Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Hope you're enjoying a fantastic holiday on this Wednesday. And if you're listening abroad, well, I hope you're having a nice Wednesday indeed. This day is certainly a pretty good Canada Day. I think, all things considered, I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I know things have been extremely weird. And today's announcement, or today's breaking news, I should say, because nothing has been confirmed yet, I suppose is a bit of a gift to Canada in a sense. And I'm going to get into that as well because, I mean, it's big news and obviously we've got to hit on it. It has ramifications for Edmonton in a big way and the Oilers, absolutely, as well as a couple of reflections on July 1st in Edmonton Oilers history. A couple good. Couple bad, but nonetheless, memories that we will go over. So buckle up. Let's enjoy the ride. Let's get into this edition of Locked On Oilers. I guess it started this morning. I woke up at like 7. Wasn't sure if I wanted to even get out of bed. Grabbed my phone, saw what was going on. Noticed that Bob McKenzie had tweeted a bunch of stuff out, and instantly I was awake, and I did have to hop out of bed because let's go back and see how the timeline progressed today. Bob tweeted this out in the morning this Wednesday. Long night of negotiations, hard work between NHL and NHLPA appears to have resulted in agreement on most issues on phase 3 and 4 of return to play, CBA extension, transition rules. Still a couple of items to finalize today. Nothing, of course, is actually done until both sides ratify a tentative deal. And then the next tweet said, barring any last minute complications, and we have seen some of those, Vancouver and Las Vegas in parentheses, the two NHL hub cities will be Edmonton and Toronto. So there you go. Right away, I was like, wow, lots to get into because it looks like the league and the players have come to their senses, have given up on the Las Vegas idea. We heard Toronto was absolutely very much one of the candidates and contenders to be a hub city, especially after Vancouver fell out of the running last week with its bid. And then Chicago kind of snuck in there, but Vegas had remained prominent for the better part of a month. And the COVID numbers in the U.S. are just terrible. Anthony Fauci saying we could see upwards of 100,000 new cases every day in the U.S. New records are being broken. I think it's 40,000 plus, if I'm remembering correctly, just off the top of my head without referencing any Google searches or anything like that. And when you look at Vegas specifically, the plan was to be at the Park MGM to house the entire league in the Park MGM. Of course, those are mega resort hotels right beside T-Mobile Arena. There's a plaza in there. And the COVID numbers have been pretty ugly in Nevada, and they are raising at an alarming rate. Arizona is pretty bad, neighboring state. California is pretty bad, another neighboring state. Utah has had its issues. And in Nevada specifically, over the weekend, there was 2,000 cases. Then on Monday, there was another 700 and something cases, and then another 560 plus yesterday. And then today, there was, again, more COVID cases, 645 across the state of Nevada. So that kind of, that brings the total to around 4,000 confirmed cases in Nevada over the course of the last 5 days. And the NHL smartly and wisely decided to shift focus to north of the border. And Edmonton and Toronto are the likely destinations as this deal continues to be worked out. Gritty negotiations is the way TSN.ca has described the talks among the PA and the NHL as it gets set for its return to play. Frank Saravalli, TSN senior hockey reporter, wrote a great article that kind of outlines everything. By the way, the Eastern Conference would play in Toronto. Naturally, the Western Conference would come here to Edmonton. So, I mean, a couple of quick details from Frank's article. He says that there is significant financial risk involved for both sides moving forward. Not being able to award a Stanley Cup champion would result in the loss of $1.1 billion in total revenue for the season. the tournament could recoup a total of upwards of $450 million in revenue. There's proposed terms of the three- or four-year CBA extension included a frozen salary cap for next season at $81.5 million that is delinked from revenue projections, with escrow withholding for players capped at a maximum of 20% to begin the deal, as players to begin to pay back to owners a massive debt from revenue lost during the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is a big and. The proposed CBA extension also includes the NHL's return to the Winter Olympics in Beijing 2022 and Milan 2026, pending negotiations with the International Olympic Committee and likely a defined international hockey calendar. So there you go. July 10th is when phase three is set to begin. And then this deal, by the way, the timeline roughly is expecting it to be ratified, and there's going to be a full player vote. Could happen as soon as this weekend and might even leak into next week, but things are progressing quickly. Time is of the essence, and we could see July 10th being the date. And then Chris Johnston actually reported that phase three could start as late as July 13th. And then teams off to their hub cities by roughly July 25th, with games starting, I've heard, somewhere around the July 30th point. So there you go. As this deal continues to be ironed out between the PA and the NHL, Edmonton and Toronto are your likely hub cities. There you go, Edmonton. You're a hub city. It's a feather in your cap. That's great. I'm sure Edmonton will do a great job of hosting, and that's a great point of pride, and will showcase this city at its peak in the middle of summer. So that's excellent. However, not everyone's a fan. Ryan Kesler getting into it with Oilers Twitter sphere frequent contributor, and I'm pretty sure you've seen him on the Oilers Twitter sphere oftentimes enough. It's the Towel Boy, who tweeted out "Never Forget" with a image of an overhead cam shot from Game 5 of the Oilers Ducks series in 2017, when Ryan Kesler was holding onto Cam Talbot's pad on the equalizer goal late in the third period. Towel Boy wrote out "Never Forget" with that image. Ryan Kesler retweeted it with a comment, said, "I'd blame your boy Nurse for the unnecessary cross-check to the back. I would never have been," which is improper English, "in the crease if it wasn't for him. Oh, and the fact you guys blew a three-goal lead with 3 minutes left." Yeah, that was a rough one for the Oilers. I remember being like, uh-oh, turning point, and it went all the way to Game 7. And Rick from the Pint, our good friend Rick from the Pint, replied with a ha-ha-ha-ha-ha, weak excuse, pal. And then Oilers Twitter sphere jumped all over Kesler, as they naturally do. I just thought that was funny. So this came after and in response to Ryan Kesler tweeting out, quote, "Please say we're playing in Toronto. Please be Toronto, every NHL player." So there you go. That's Ryan Kesler throwing some shade at Edmonton, the Towel Boy, throwing some shade back. And then Twitter did what Twitter does right after that. This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Gazzola with you as we enjoy this Canada Day edition of the podcast. And if you didn't hear, Edmonton looks like it will be a hub city along with Toronto. Also on Canada Day, you know, that's great news, and we're used to a lot of NHL news on Canada Day. Traditionally, as we celebrate the nation's birthday, there's also free agent frenzy. And I remember having to cover free agent frenzy all the time when I worked for Oilers TV. And I think I had to do it the last year. I think I did it last year and the year before for TSN and 1260, but to a much lesser extent. And I always hated July 1st, especially when I had to come in and work it. There's a lot of sitting around doing nothing, sitting in the old offices, or if we were at the Coliseum, our glorified broom closet that we converted into a production studio slash office, and a lot of nothing would happen. Then you'd see a couple of deals that the Oilers would sign, and then you'd go and do some interviews, and the day would just drag on. It felt like, you know, you get there at like 8 in the morning, you wouldn't be done till 5. It was a full work day of doing nothing. I remember showing up hungover a couple of times, knowing that the Oilers didn't have much in the works in terms of UFAs that they were going to sign on July 1st a couple of years. And then 1 year, July 1st, 2016, they made a big splash signing Milan Lucic to a mega deal. 7 years at $6 million AAV. And quite frankly, that actually was the 10th biggest NHL contract ever signed on July 1st. Number nine was Bobby Holík at 5 years worth $45 million. Then Scott Gomez signed a 7 year deal at $7.4 million per year. That's $51.5 million total. Then there was Danny Briere at 8 years for $52 million. Matt Duchene in 2019, 7 years, $56 million. Then Brian Campbell at 8 years, $57.1 million. And Marian Hossa in 2009 to the Blackhawks. Remember, the Oilers pursued him the year before as well. Hossa signing a 12-year deal for $63.3 million, AAV of $5.3 million. And then the biggest ones ever, in 2019, Sergei Bobrovsky, 7 years, $70 million. John Tavares in 2018, $77 million over 7 years. And then last year, Artemi Panarin came in with the biggest deal ever on July 1st at 7 years, $81.5 million. And as we reflect back on Milan Lucic and that signing back on July 1st, 2016, and listen, that was shortly after the Oilers had traded Taylor Hall. Still, nothing against Adam Larsson. He's a serviceable top four defenseman, but we all know how we feel about that deal. If you're Peter Chiarelli, you probably should have gotten more for Taylor Hall. But one for one, the deal was one for one. And, you know, just shortly after that, a week later, the Oilers bring in big Milan Lucic on a huge free agent ticket. Lucic was good for his first season and a half in Edmonton. In that first season, he played 82 games, 23 goals, 27 assists, 50 points. In the playoffs, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points with 20 penalty minutes in 13 games. The next season, he started off just fine, but I think it was a December 23rd game against Montreal. I think that was when he scored his last goal before going into that massive slump. And the game took a big-time nosedive. His confidence was shot. He actually had 10 goals, 24 assists, 34 points with 80 penalty minutes in 82 games. And most of those were accumulated in the first couple months of the season. And then just things, you know, went to crap and he was toast the rest of the way and he never regained his form. Obviously, 18-19 was a very, very tough year for Lucic. 6 goals, 14 assists, 20 points total. And then he got shipped out for James Neal in what was a pretty shrewd and solid move by Ken Holland coming into Edmonton and making a statement by making a move like that. James Neal, 19 goals on the season, not a lot of assists, and most of those goals were scored early, but he had played a lot of the year injured, and I think he is still a valuable asset and worth keeping around for a little bit longer. I know he signed a deal with Calgary that didn't work out, but he's been good in Edmonton. I'll say that. I will say that he's been an upgrade over Lucic. I really like Milan Lucic. I have a lot of time for him. Great interview. Really good guy. Very thoughtful. It's too bad that things went south in a hurry. I know a lot of people didn't like this contract that he signed with the Oilers. And the first year looked good. The first part of the second year looked good. And then it was just a dumpster fire the rest of the way until he was traded to the Calgary Flames. Anyway, let's go back to July 1st, 2016. My one-on-one interview with Milan Lucic as he was unveiled as the newest member of the Edmonton Oilers at that time in front of the still under construction at that point, Rogers Place. Canada Day marks free agent frenzy in the National Hockey League, and arguably the largest fish in the free agent pool lands with the Edmonton Oilers, Milan Lucic. Happy Canada Day to you, sir. Welcome to Edmonton. Milan Lucic, the Edmonton Oiler, what does that sound like to you, and what does that mean to you now?
It sounds fresh, but it sounds exciting. It feels right. You know, everyone knows I was here on Tuesday taking a tour of the new rink and talking to the coaches and all the management, and you know, it's such a great it's a team that has such great history, and you know, being a lover of hockey that I am, you know, being able to wear a jersey like this, that some of the greats that have worn this jersey is such a special feeling, and to be able to come here and play in front of the fans that they have here in Edmonton is something also special, and I hope that, you know, I don't disappoint them and I don't let them down, and I hope that you know, we can get back to being a championship caliber team.
A lot of people excited that you joined the Oilers, and it's fitting that we're in front of this new arena. Is that something that really stood out to you, and what really, you know, caught your eye with this rink? Because a lot of people are talking about it right now, and you bring it up a lot in the interviews you've done today since signing.
Yeah, it truly is unbelievable what Mr. Cates is doing here for the city of Edmonton, and this arena that he's built is in my mind not only the best arena in hockey, it's the best arena in the world. And you know, how he's transforming the city of Edmonton for Oilers fans and the people here is truly unbelievable, and that's something that played into my decision as well, and his commitment to this city and to this franchise and to the players and winning, which, you know, for me is really important, is that winning aspect. And you see the commitment that starts from the top, from the ownership group. I think it'll trickle down all the way down to the players, and hopefully we can reward them with a Stanley Cup.
Milan, Edmonton is not Boston, it's not Vancouver where you're from, and it's not LA, but it is a city on the rise. What does this mean for your family? And just talking to your wife really quickly, she seemed genuinely excited about the possibility of coming to this city, which is actually a pretty young city.
Yeah, we're excited. We're excited to be a part of the transformation, as you see behind us.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
We're excited to be a part of that. And, you know, having the friends that I've had over the last, you know, 12 years that have grown up in Edmonton, and, you know, Johnny Boychuk and Andrew Ferentz being one of my best friends that I've had back in Boston. So I got to talk to them a lot about what it's like to raise a family here and what it was like for them being able to grow up in a place like Edmonton. So, you know, they gave us, you know, they made us feel pretty good about our decision from a family standpoint. So, you know, like I said, it feels more than right that I'm making a good decision here, and like I said, we just want to, from a hockey standpoint, we want to do as a team whatever we can to not let our fans down, because, you know, what they've been through the last 10 years, you know, they need, yep. You know, it's about time we start heading into the right direction.
I'm glad you brought up the hockey standpoint, because focusing on the ice now, you mentioned Connor McDavid as well. You've played in the Pacific Division this last season. What's it going to take for this team to actually start making some tracks in this division and become a contender?
Well, obviously, you know, with the big teams in this division, you got to be a tough team to play against, and it starts by giving it your all night in, night out, and being team tough, and obviously it starts from the top with Connor McDavid, who's already shown that he can lead a team and to anywhere that they want to go, but it's about everyone else stepping up their game and supporting him and playing that team toughness and doing whatever it takes to win. And fortunately for me, I've been a part of winning teams my whole career, and hopefully I can bring some of my experience here to Edmonton and get it going into the right direction.
Finally now, you just turned 28. You're a veteran in this league. How do you try to assimilate yourself into this organization and this team, especially after making a seven-year commitment?
Well, I, you know, you bring up 28. I feel like I'm
28.
Yeah, I feel like I'm 19 years old walking into the Bruins dressing room. So, you know, I think there's lots to look forward to. You know, I've knock on wood been healthy for most of my career. So I just gotta go out there and be me, and not trying to be someone else. Go out there and do the things that I'm good at doing, and hopefully. You know, hopefully I can bring my experiences that I've had, especially in the dressing room, and make it all work from there. So I'm excited to be able to have this fresh start and opportunity to contribute to a new team. And like I said, hopefully, you know, we'll go where we want to go, you know, within the 7 years that I'm here.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for doing this. Look forward to seeing what you can do on the ice in the fall in that building right over there. Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
Thanks, Milan.
Thank you.
This is Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tom Gazzola with you. Happy Canada Day, everyone. Hope you're enjoying it. And thanks for tuning into the podcast, as always, as we look back on this day in hockey history. And we already kind of did that a little bit with the Milan Lucic signing 4 years ago. But here's another one that was a tough day, especially if you were an Oiler fan and a fan of this player in particular. July 1st, 2001, the Edmonton Oilers trade center Doug Weight and right wing Michelle Reason to the St. Louis Blues in exchange for center Marty Riesener, who was a good Oiler for a long time, left wing Jochen Hecht, who only played the one season with the Oilers, and defenseman Jan Horacek. I can't remember if Horacek even played a game for the Oilers. He may have. That was a tough move. Obviously, the Oilers were cash-strapped back then. Doug Weight was in his prime. He was the captain and leader of that team, and they had just traded away Bill Guerin in November of the previous season. And so, you know, they couldn't afford what Weight wanted. He ended up signing a really lucrative deal with the Blues and made a lot of money, and rightly so, deservedly so. And it was a tough day for Oilers fans, absolutely. But it was kind of a sign of the times, and it very much, you know, showed the discrepancy between the have teams and the have not teams at that point in the National Hockey League prior to the salary cap era that came into effect in 2005. And Doug Weight, I mean, they say never meet your heroes. I was a huge Doug Weight fan. I taped my stick like him. I used Hespler gloves. I used Hespler sticks like he did. I just tried to do everything like Doug Weight. I would mix it up. I would get feisty, but I was never – him and I are the exact same size, but that guy was tough and never backed down. I always thought, what would Doug Weight do? So I always tried to play like Doug Weight growing up, and – I've had the good fortune of meeting him and interviewing him numerous times. And I'll say this. I bring up that saying, never meet your heroes, because it does not apply to Doug Weight. You go into media and you try not to be a fan. You're not supposed to be a fan. Gene Principe taught me that. And I did a good job mentally. You separate yourself. And when Gene told me that, it really resonated. But it was at a time when I was still really young. I was in my early 20s. And a lot of the guys that I had grown up watching from the time I was like 7, 8 years old to that point when I was 22, 23 years old, they were still in the league. Some of them, Doug Weight being one of them. And I mean, they were almost done their careers, but I just remember being like, wow, that's Doug Weight. I remember interviewing him the first time. I was with the Score, working for the Score at the time. Just being like, wow, that's amazing. Doug Weight right there. What a cool dude. And then I got to Oilers TV. They started bringing him in for Farewell Rexall Place, stuff like that. And I had these one-on-ones with them. We hit it off really well. Great interview, great dude. And just a sincere, genuine person. And on top of that, he was a tremendous hockey player, a great Oiler. I was so happy for him when he won the cup in 06. That's probably the only part of that 06 cup I can say I was like, well, at least there's a silver lining. Because at that point, I was still a fan of the team. You know, a good Edmonton boy, cheering them on, hoping for the cup to come home after a long drought. Of course, that didn't happen. But I've also had the chance to get to know him through friends, mutual friends. I was at a wedding in February that he was at, and him and I had a bunch of drinks together, and we just shot the breeze for a good chunk of the night, told old stories, and really just a sincere, genuine, awesome guy. Another thing that stood out to me was a couple of years ago, I had just started with TSN and I was done with Oilers TV, and the Islanders were in town when he was still coaching them. And I was walking out of the building. I had to go by the visitor's locker room, and Gene Principe was talking to Doug, and Doug interrupted the conversation and was like, hang on, Gene. Hey, Tom, good to see you. How you doing, man? Everything okay? Great, great. All right, we'll catch you around the rink again soon. And I was just blown away. I was like, wow, like unbelievable. So on this day, 19 years ago, Doug Weight was traded from the Oilers to the St. Louis Blues. And again, that whole saying, never meet your heroes, that does not apply to him. And I thought I'd share a little bit of my history with Doug Weight. And I've had the good pleasure of getting to know him. And awesome dude, awesome hockey player. And I want to end it on a positive note, despite this being a bit of a somber anniversary 19 years ago on this day. That does it for this edition of Locked On Oilers. Really hope you enjoyed it. Have yourselves a great Canada Day. And please be safe out there. Be sure to tell your smart device to play Locked On NHL. Myself and Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres have got you covered heading into the weekends. Take care, everyone. Yeah, I just love you.